grow up, right? Everybody stand up this morning. We're going to jump into this. It's interesting. We always want to celebrate Scripture together in the manna, the reading Scripture. And if you can put that verse on the screen, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. It's a verse that we've been saying every single week, and I hope you've been memorizing. But it says this: therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and establishing your faith, just as you were instructed, in overflowing with gratitude. Being rooted and being built up. Listen, this whole series is about moving from being kind of baby believers into mature followers of Jesus Christ. Like, how does that look to go from prayer and then worship and reading Scripture and that importance in our life and a true act of surrender? So let's pray this morning and just open up our hearts to what God has for us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each person in this room. Lord, we need to have you in this time. We need, Lord, we just don't want superficial time with you. When we encounter your presence, something has to change. Something has to give. I pray for that. Help us to be authentic in our faith. Help us to be real where we're at. And today is all about praying some dangerous prayers. And Lord, I believe there's some people in this room who have some serious problems and serious issues in their life, and they need some serious faith. Lord, so many often that we come token ways and we just come nonchalantly, but Lord, to go deeper, we need to be deeper. Lord, to pray prayers of faith, we need to be walking prayers of faith. And Lord, and to have an honest spiritual life, we've got to be honest. And I pray for all of us today. Help us to be honest in our heart and in our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat. We do something traditional in our church, and here's how it goes. I know Ben was saying, you guys are kind of quiet today, so we're going to test this out. Morning glory. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? You guys are awake. That's awesome. And here's my last one. When I say this phrase, I want you to say, we do. Who loves Ben?
We do.
Ben, look at that. Who loves the Broncos? I love it. That's awesome. Hey, we're going to jump into this, and one thing that I talked about last week was hearing God's voice in a whisper, and I talked about it's not in a storm or in a wind, it's in the gentle whisper, and I challenge everybody to just even get away for half an hour this week, away from your phone, and away from social media, and just unplug and find the Lord, because he wants to speak. It's interesting, because in Scripture, the disciples even went to Jesus and said, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. Teach us, Lord, teach us how to give a good illustration. Teach us how to effectively reach our communities. Teach us how to do certain things. They literally went to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And they're saying, teach us how to pray. It's interesting, the phrase, the Lord said, that phrase is used over 300 and plus times in Scripture. From the Old Testament, it says the Lord said. And what that tells me is this, a couple of things. One is the Lord wants to speak to his people. I mean, I'm going to share about this sometime this year, but literally, there's a story in Scripture where God is actually speaking through a mouth of a donkey to get somebody's attention. Like, the Lord wants to speak to us. And not only that, not only does he want to speak to us, but he wants us to speak to him. Because prayer, essentially, when you think about it, prayer itself is just conversation with God. And not just, but it's conversation with God. It's in a true conversation, it's not just one person having a dialogue. A conversation is listening and hearing and conversing and being honest and being real, and it's having a conversation. And somebody might ask me, how do you pray? And I say, well, how do you talk to your friends? Because that's how the Lord wants us to talk to him. And just that honest approach of saying, what's going on? Prayer is not just about getting what you want. Prayer is about getting to know who he is. I want you to understand this. Prayer is not just trying to get what you want on time. Prayer is getting to know who the Lord is in your life. Knowing the Lord. I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, that I may know him. I count all, check this out. He says, I count all things lost, everything. Look at all the stuff Paul went through, revivals and riots and all these things. He says, I count it all lost. I count it all rubbish compared to the all-surpassing knowledge of knowing who Jesus Christ my Lord is. He says, the most important thing is that I get to know who he is. He says, that's the most important thing. And so having that conversation and know who he is. And so as we grow, our conversations with the Lord changes. For instance, like my kids, when they are small, it's about their needs. I'm hungry. You know what I'm saying? When can I play with my toys? Why do I got to do my homework? It's all these conversations about needs. And as they grow up, maturity-wise, they begin to change how they speak. It becomes sometimes, hopefully, as we grow, it becomes a little bit more less about us and more about helping other people and more about how can I help. And some of you, can you imagine when I go upstairs and I hear about my kids doing something without ever being asked, it blows my mind. Anybody else like that? Some of you are like, I have college-age students, and I can't even get them to do their own stuff yet. You know what I'm saying? When you, and listen, I'm not, listen, 90% of the time, I got to tell them. I'm just telling you that right now. But every once in a while, they do something, and they just, and they love on somebody, or they do something that's, they're not being told, and you just go, what? And hopefully, as we grow in maturity, we're not just doing things that we're told. We're doing things that that need to be done, that we're not just asking, we're just stepping out. And so our conversation begins to change and how that looks. And as we grow, that begins to change. So what I'm saying is this. I'm totally saying it's okay to ask for things. Sometimes people say, are you saying, Jarvis, that you shouldn't ask for things in prayer? I'm saying no. Fill up prayer cards. We need, if you're having financial issues and you're having marriage issues and you're having issues with your kids or you need a new job or something happens and you need prayer or you're having surgery and you're having body issues, we want to pray. And those things are important to pray for. So hear me out. I'm not dismissing that. Those are important. But I guess what I am saying is in our prayer life, there also has to be more than just those needs. There has to be something else. For example, when I just say I need a job or I need finances, there has to be more. And so we got to start praying prayers that really look into who we are, okay? So for instance, you can ask my wife about this. She's actually in kids today. But I do prayer journals. Like I do journals. When I do my devotions, I actually have journals and I actually have dates of things and I actually have prayer requests and I'm praying through with different things. And I have about 10 years worth of journals that I have. And so I pulled them all out this past week and I've been looking page after page after page after page. And some of them, I'm just telling you, are ridiculous. I have ones all the way back. I have ones back from high school, just a few of them, that I was not even married to Jane yet. And I have one that I said, things that I'm excited about my wife about. And most of the things, you know what I'm saying, are important. Some of them are like, that's ridiculous. I can't even think I was thinking this way. But sometimes you just go. And I remember, you want to know what catches me, my attention in these prayer journals? Is every once in a while, there's this prayer that I lifted to the Lord of either of desperation or of surrender or just a time of need. And sometimes I go, God, where am I at with you? God, where's my heart? God, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I was in a pickle, but sometimes I was just unrest in my heart and God is pulling up things that maybe I knew I wasn't called to be doing this and God is just uprooting things. And all of a sudden I say prayers like, God, show me what you want me to do. God, I open up my heart to you. And there becomes these, listen, it becomes these surrender points in your life that you start surrendering on a different way. You guys hear me on this? And it becomes these moments of surrender in that I believe, listen, as you grow in your spiritual faith, it still is about your needs, but what begins to happen as you grow, you start praying some dangerous prayers. And some of you didn't even know they're called dangerous. I just call them dangerous prayers, and this is what begins to happen. So follow along. I'm gonna throw a lot of stuff at you this morning. And so here's number one. Start praying dangerous prayers. Number one is start praying break me prayers. Start praying some break me prayers. Bill Hybels says this: you cannot grow as a Christian until you learn to ask for brokenness. He says, ask for brokenness. So for instance, one of the things as I was growing up, my mentor Calvin Olson, I would listen to him pray, and here's what his prayer would be almost every other day: Lord, break my heart for the things that break your heart. Isn't that crazy? Lord, break my heart for the things that break. What hurts you today, Lord? What is the things that bring pain to you? Lord, how can I help you today? What is breaking your heart? What do I need to intervene for? So the question is, do we care about what God cares about? Do we care what he cares about? Because here's the deal. We are always trying to get God to care about what we care about. My question is, do we care about what he cares about? You guys hear me? Like, what if we just started praying, God, I know you care for me, but Lord, what do you care about? Lord, what's your heartbeat? Lord, what's this today? Can I just tell you with this whole Las Vegas thing? I just feel like our Father has to weep. Has to weep over our nation, has to weep over the heartache, has to weep. And this is when the church is called to pray and weep and not just know the facts, but literally to get on our knees and pray what God wants us to pray. Amen? So it's interesting. Nehemiah, I'm going to share this. Nehemiah, God gave Nehemiah a burden. And this is one of the coolest things. Nehemiah was this guy who was living in a palace, and he didn't live, in Jerusalem, but his descendants were from Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem in that day, the cities had walls, and they had these giant walls around for defense. Because when people would come and attack, you had to get through the wall first to get to the city. And if you didn't have a wall, you're pretty much subject to like being taken over. And Nehemiah heard this. He heard that his people didn't have a wall up. So what Nehemiah did is he heard about it, and it says that he began to weep over the nation. That it says that his burden grew. God gave him a burden to build the city. And God said, I want you to go back and build the walls. And if you know the story, Nehemiah travels hundreds of miles back, and he trains the people how to build this wall. And he builds up this city, and he builds up the walls to protect it again. But it starts because Nehemiah heard of desperation, he heard of the need, and all of a sudden, God gave him a burden, and with that burden, he went to do what God called him to do. But he first got a burden, and he began to weep and pray. He got a burden, he began to fast and pray, and he began to weep over the nation. When he got there, it only took 58 days to build the walls of that city back up. But I'm telling you is this: Stillwater needs people who say the walls are coming down, God has called us here, it's time to get on our knees and pray and get a burden. Because I'm telling you, so many books out there about vision, we need to cast more vision, we need to do this, we need to do this. And listen, I'm all about vision, that's awesome. But in my book, it says, God will give you a burden, and that burden will lead for a vision. I want our burden for the people around us to lead us to do what God has called us to do. Like if we got this burden inside of us through prayer, and it is not some magical thing that happens through prayer. So when was the last time God gave you a burden so deep that you began to weep over it? Break my heart, Lord. God, break my heart for the things that break yours. Prayer aligns our hearts with his. I think one of the cool things is, Lord, let me see people for the way that you see people. Lord, let me see people that way. Number two is this. Oh, this in this scripture verse is like gut-wrenching for me. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The first thing I'm going to say is this. When you go and spend time with the Lord, you're just saying, God, break my heart. But you know what we need? in this town and your work? You know what we need in this church? Are people who shut the door of their prayer closet and they honestly ask a question and say, God, search me. Search this. Search if there's anything in here. And the point that it makes is this. It says, search me and know my heart. When I was a youth pastor, one of the things I talked about this one Wednesday night, and I shared with our students, one of the things you maybe should do is go to people that you trust in your life who are spiritually at a different level, and you should ask them, is there anything in my life that you see as unhealthy? And I said, then you can find a response. There's a little girl named Brianna, which is like, she is like literally one of the most innocent people I've ever met in my entire life. And I think she was in ninth grade at the time. After service, she walks up to me and she goes, hey, Pastor Jarvis, is there anything in my heart that you see is wrong? And I'm like, oh, you're perfect. I don't see nothing. And literally, my wife and I were kind of joke because like she's amazing. Like she's now leading worship in California. And I'm not saying she's not perfect, but there's something that begins to happen. Now listen, it's important. Every Wednesday night, she would come up to me and they say, is there something in my life that you see that is holding me back? Is there something in my life? Is there an attitude? Is there something in my life that's not right? Search me. So she's saying, search my heart. Is there something that you believe is holding me back from what God has for me? Ask ourselves this question. Is there something, search me, is there something in my life that is literally coming in between me and the Lord? Is there something in my life that's coming between me and my family? Is there something blocking me? Is there an attitude? Is there a mindset? I love what Brianna said today, is that whole mindset of, you know what I'm saying, being, you know what I'm saying, celebrating others. That's a mindset that God is saying, search me and reveal those things. Why can I not celebrate with others? Why can I not give this? Why can I not surrender this? What are you showing within me? And next one is this. Number two is this. In that verse, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. What also means my fears. What fears are in my life? What things in my life that are not of you? What fears is holding me back from stepping out? I love this quote. It says, what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. What we fear the most, the thing, our insecurity gets, God, search my insecurities. Search my doubt. The things that I hold back from you, search that. Number three is this, and it says, see if there's any offensive way in me. It means to uncover my sins. Is there anything that's offensive against you? Is there anything that's holding me back from going into your presence? Is there anything that's keeping me away from here? Here's some questions you can ask people. What are others trying to tell me? What are others trying to tell you? Or is there people in your life? I'm telling you, when my wife tells me something, I listen. If she says, I don't know, we should probably change this, I listen. What have I rationalized for some time? So many times we justify and rationalize. We might be doing something that's a little bit off, but we rationalize it by saying, it's not as bad as most people. You know, I'm better than that person, or it's not that bad. I used to be way worse. It doesn't mean it's right. And then here's the next thing. You want to know where there's insecurities? Where am I the most defensive? Can I just tell you what wounds or what things in your life, if someone just touches it in your life, that you go, ooh, that you kind of bow up? And it says, Lord, search me and know my way. Search me. Where am I defensive? What am I covering up? What am I in my life I don't want to talk about? What in my life am I, listen to this, what in my life am I not surrendering? Now, always up here, I am not telling you that you need to go to every single person in this room and tell them, here's my stuff, here, I'm going to lay it all out. But I am telling you, the first step is going to the Lord with it. I'm telling you, the first step is going to the Lord and just saying, listen, search me. What's in my heart that's holding me back? Next one is lead me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me to ways everlasting. So number one, big number one is break me. Big number two is search me. Big number three, I'm telling you, this is one of the most dangerous prayers you ever pray in your life. Send me use me prayers. We can have three responses to God's call in our life. Number one call is like Jonah. You guys know Jonah in the belly of the whale. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, to go give a prophecy. And instead, listen, he ran the opposite direction. I think this is the most funniest story in Scripture. Number one, because it's a giant whale that ate him. But here's what I think is really funny. All of a sudden, Jonah jumps on a boat going in the wrong direction. Because I'm telling you, when you don't want to follow the Lord, the next step is you're going to go in the wrong direction. So all of a sudden, he goes in the wrong direction. He's floating, and he's on this ship. And while he's on his ship, storms are constantly coming. And the guy, the captain in charge, goes, I don't know what's going on, but I think the Lord hates us or somebody on his boat. Somebody's going on. And this doesn't mean say this guy's a believer. He's just saying, we're cursed. So they start throwing things overboard. And all of a sudden, Jonah goes, listen, it's probably me. He confessed. And that's what they did. They said, well, if we're going to go down because you're here, let's just throw you overboard. That way we all don't go down. So they took Jonah and they threw him over the boat in the water, in the ocean. How awesome is that, right? Let's just get rid of this guy. They throw him over the boat in the water, and as Jonah is just there, a giant fish comes and swallows Jonah. And this is what I find really awesome. Because when you read this scripture, most people read it saying, like, this is problems. This is, listen, Jonah was going the wrong direction, and God is disciplining him, and God has put him in the belly of the whale. God, the whale is God's discipline. And I'm here to tell you this. The whale is not discipline. It's Uber. It's transportation. Dude, the whale is getting Jonah's attention to bring him back to the point he should be going in the first spot. It says when he was vomited on the land, he was vomited in the right direction he was supposed to go in the first place. Think about this. So you have one thing. Here's our three responses. Number one, you can be like Jonah and say, here I am, but I'm not going. I'm not going to. Listen, those mission trips, those are for somebody else. Lord, you want me to invite this person to church? I'm not going to do it. Somebody else, if you really want them to come, Lord, somebody else is going to do it. Lord, I'm not going to be the one who gives my neighbors cookies. That's not me. So my question is, if not you, then who? And I love, says Jonah 1, 2 through 3 says, go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it because of wickedness has come before them. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. So one is three responses to God's call. Number one, Jonah said, I'm not going. Number two is Moses. Exodus 3 says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? He's saying, who am I? Send somebody else. The first one is saying, I'm not going. Next one, guys, Moses said, his reason is saying, listen, I stutter. I can't do this. Think about this. I want you to catch it for 1 second. How many times have you prayed a dangerous prayer and you feel like God has responded with a dangerous response? And here's your response. You say, you try to rationalize it by making excuses. Moses is like, I stutter. I can't lead these people out of slavery. I killed some. I did some bad things. I can't do this. Use somebody else. And God says, you are somebody else. It's interesting to me because we have prayers like, God, I pray that you do miracles in my neighborhood. I pray you do miracles at work. I pray, God, you do something miraculous. I pray you do miracles. Send somebody. And God's response is, I did. I sent you. God, I pray our school needs more. Our school needs this. Lord, send somebody to help. I did. I sent you. Can I tell you, you are the miracle that you've been praying for in a lot of your situations. God is trying to empower us to do what he's called to do, not to push it to somebody else, not to say, oh, somebody else will help. Somebody else will help do that. He's saying, no, it's you. So you could be like Jonah and say, nope, not me. I can't do it. Or you can be like Moses saying, how about somebody else? Or you can be this. Listen to this. Isaiah says this. And then I heard the voice of the Lord. He's speaking. Listen, it's communication. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then Isaiah responded by saying, here am I, send me. Many years ago, there was a missionary named David Brainerd. He was a missionary in the First Great Awakening, although he died of sickness at the age of 29. Dan and Brainerd, you guys can come up here. His legacy of total consecration live on in his journal. He published it by his friend named Jonathan Edwards. So at 29 years old, this guy dies being a missionary. And later on, they read his journal, and here's what it said. A very dangerous prayer. He says, here am I, send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called out of comfort of this world. Send me to death itself, if so be it. If it is by thy service to promote thy kingdom, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Send me. You know what we need? We just need Christians who will surrender. Dan and Brainerd up here. Every single person in staff, can I just tell you this, has a Nehemiah experience. Did you know that none of us, did you guys even know anybody that lived in Stillwater? Me neither. No, I don't know anybody that lived in Stillwater. Do you realize that God spoke to them? God spoke to Ben, crazy Ben that was up here, was in Hawaii. Yes, he was in Hawaii. My parents built their dream house in Wilmer. Stacy was just asked to go full-time at a church. Full-time. We weren't going to pay full-time. Gabe and Marissa, dude, they're called to be missionaries, and they were just coming to our church because they lived in Scandia, and they came down every 45-minute drive just to serve on our staff, and they just did it lovingly, and they just didn't know anybody besides us that lived here. And all of a sudden, God called them here. Can I tell you something really cool about this? It's like Nehemiah. We all live miles away, and all of a sudden, God called us here for such a time as this. We all just said, listen, at that moment, we all just said, here am I, send me, Lord, search me. What can I do? There's not much I can offer, but what can I do to serve you? Like, what can I do? Lord, let my heart break for the things that break your heart. Let my heart break for the things in Stillwater, in this community, or where I live. Let my heart break for those things. Lord, search my heart. Is there something in my life that's not of you, that's pulling me, that's separating me from you? Am I hearing from you? Because I can tell you this. The greatest tragedy in the church today is people talking about God without ever talking to God. The greatest tragedy. Because it's people who talk about the power of the Lord without walking in the power of the Lord. It's people who talk about things that we should be doing but never walking in the things that we should be doing. But what we need is people who write in their prayer journals that we look down the road saying, God has given me a heart for this community. God has given me a heart for I don't even like where I work. That's okay, but I'm there for a reason. I'm there right now for what God has for me to do. If we just stand up this morning. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, it says seek first. And I understand that prayer becomes like one of those things that we do when we're in need, which is really good. But what if we made prayer our first priority, not our last resort? What if a situation came and we went to the Lord saying, Lord, what are you asking me to do? Lord, how can I walk in this situation with you? Because I'm telling you, what we need, every single person that walks in this room, if we honestly say, it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual life, we all have to realize that we need more of Jesus in our life. Amen? and we need direction, and we need to surrender. It's interesting because I tell you, one of the things I shared before is this. I won't ever forget when I was in college and the Holy Spirit convicted me so strong because I was talking to someone about how much they need Jesus. I was just sharing about, you need Jesus, and you just need Jesus. And then I was praying for them, and as I was praying for them, the Lord spoke to me and says, you need Jesus. And I'm like, wow. And what dawned on me was this. I was sharing at that point how much, I was telling people how much they need Jesus, and I realized what people need to hear is not how much they need Jesus. Sometimes what they need to hear is how much I need Jesus. Because I'm a mess. Because I make mistakes. Because I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to walk in this. So listen, we are almost done. And I wanted to get done early because here's what I want us to do today. I want us to pray. I want us to pray some dangerous prayers. I believe there's people that come in here carrying heaviness. Listen, not only do I want us to pray, I want you to be prayed over. There's going to be people in this room, they're going to come pray over you too, because here's what I believe happens. Where two or more are gathered, and I'm saying stuff happens. And I'm not saying it's going to be magical, but I'm telling you, what I'm praying is God speaks to you, God shows you, and God lifts those burdens when we give them to the Lord, and miracles begin to happen. Amen? We have got to be people who start praying dangerous prayers. A few years ago, I had a friend who had a company. And he literally said, I don't know if I'm supposed to have this company or not. Good-sized company. He literally said, I need your prayer. And I said, what's that? He goes, my company's become a burden to me. I said, what? Okay, and so we started praying, and one of the things I feel like I told him was, you've never surrendered your company to the Lord. You can try to control it too much. And I said, he goes, I don't know how to do that. And I said, I don't know how to do that either, be honest, but you need to lay it down. This guy started giving, he started praying. He started praying for his employees. He started praying. He started praying blessings over his business. He started praying. He started just bringing God more into what, in his best way he could. And it became, what went from a burden became a blessing. I'm not saying that's all always happens, but I'm just saying God takes our burdens and restores them at times and makes them blessings. Your marriage right now, listen, your marriage right now might be a burden, but if you surrender it to the Lord, it can be a blessing. Your finances right now could be a burden. But if you surrender that to the Lord, it'll be a blessing. You know what I'm saying? If you pray the dangerous prayers right now, and you just surrender those things. So everybody bow your heads, close your eyes.